Now we're holding on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the first line of the wide lines. We're in the middle of discussing, there was Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, in what cases does a person get Malkus? Rabbi Shmuel held that even a person is chayiv misas beistin, there can still be malchus. At the stage, the Gemara assumes that it means that he says that a person might get both. A person might conceivably get malchus and misa for the same aveira. Although because you can't punish one person with one punishment for two different aveiras. So it would mean the last possibility we had brought up. We're going to bring up the possibility now that it means what kind of hasra he was given from Misa or from Malkus respectively. Then we have Rabbi Akiva saying when it comes to Chayv and Misa's Beistin, there's never Malkus, only Misa's Beistin. When would there be Malkus if a person is Chayv Koris? And then instead of Koris, he could be getting Malkus if they gave him hasra for that. Then we have Rabbi Yitzchok saying that no, there's no Malkus by Koris and the Pashtus not by Misas Beis Din either. So we were focusing on Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on their respective opinions. Why is Rabbi Shmuel saying that there could be Malkus and Misa, and Rabbi Shmuel saying that and Rabbi Akiva saying that no, there can only be Misa. So the last thing we said. Was that Rabbi Shmuel holds again Kidei Rishosa, you cannot be mechayiv him Mishum Shtei Rishoyas. However, the Gemara had said that would apply only Berishaks on the Surah LeBeistin, only when it comes to a Risha that's given over to Beistin, meaning when it comes to Mrs. Beistin, they can't also be giving him Malkus as well. But when Rabbi Akiva would say, therefore, when it comes to Koris is not in the hands of Beistin, so therefore a person could well be chayiv Koris and also be getting Malkus. And if he does tshuva, then he's potter from the Koris anyway. But if he doesn't do tshuva and he ends up getting Koris, doesn't matter. You can get Malkus as well, and it doesn't violate the idea of Shtei Rishoyas because the second Risha is not being imposed by Beis Din, it's coming Mina Shamayim. So the Gemara continues. Rava Omar, Rava says now, Asra Beliktola, if they gave the person Asra that he's going to be killed, so let's say he's breaking Shabbos or worshipping Avodah Zarah or whatever, and they warned him that there's Misa involved, Kol Amal Pligi De'in Loiko Mes, then everybody would agree that no, there's no Malkus and Misa. There's no Malkus and Misa over there. So again, unlike we were saying up until now, that maybe Rabbi Shmuel would say that a person could be getting both punishments, and Rabbi Akiva is saying that not, because Shtei Rishoyas, now Rava is saying that no. Everybody would agree that he's not getting two punishments. Now Maoshoa explains, in other words, exactly that. In other words, we would say that everybody agrees that you can't give Shtei Rishoyas. That you can't give two punishments for the same Avera. And the Rashash explains somewhat differently. He says it's not so much a matter of Shtei Rishoyas, it's a matter of where's the source that a person should get Malkus for a lav, is basically because the lav itself, the fact that there's a lav, teaches us, as we learned yesterday, that it's similar to Chasima, that it's similar to the Isser Loisasim Shor B'dishoy, where most lavim therefore get Malkus, but here, where instead the lav is being used to give him as the warning to give him Misa, then we can't also use it as a warning to give him Malkus. Anyway, so keep clicking to Asrubay the Malkus. The Macholkus would be where to begin with they gave Masra for Malkus. They told him don't break Shabbos, not because if yes you're going to be Chayiv Skila, but because if you do you're going to be Chayiv Malkus. Can we give him Malkus on that basis? Rabbi Shmuel Sava Lavshanit and Lazharas Misa Spacin Loikan Olav. Well then Rabbi Shmuel holds that yes, it is possible, even though this lab is normally meant to tell us Misa Spacin, nevertheless it is possible instead to give him Malkus for it. Rabbi Akiva Sava Lavshanit and Lazharas Misa Spacin ain't Loikan Olav, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that no, such a lab is not meant to be for Malkus. So if they give him Asra for Misa, then he gets Misa, and if they don't give him Asra for Misa, even they give him for Malkus, then you can't do anything to him. You can't give him Misa because there was no Asra for it, and you can't give him Malkus because this kind of lab is excluded from the category of Malkus. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Akiva, Yehochi Chayvid Krusis Nami Lav Shenit Lazharas Karesu." Well, the question is, then, if in that case, according to Rabbi Akiva, why don't we say the same thing about Kares? That also the Lav is teaching us that the person is Chayv Kares. Because again, in Einshin and Lavkein Mazhirin, we would assume that there's the concept that you can't punish a person unless there's a warning ahead of time. So therefore, he can't, on the face of it, he can't be given kares, even menashemayim, unless there's some warning someplace in the Torah, don't do that. And in that case, that warning is coming to establish the fact that there can be kares, and we should say the same thing. When there's kares involved, then there can't be malchus. And the answer is Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi Hoch Yama Avini Ma'agrunim B'Shmei D'Rava. So note, Rav Mordechai tells Rav Ashi that you should know this is what Rav Avimi, this is what Avimi from Hagrunia said in the name of Rava. No, Chai VeKrisus Lo Tzrichi Hasra. When it comes to Chai VeKrisus, you do not require Hasra. There's no place where the Torah has to warn and say don't do this or you're going to be Chai of Koris. In fact, a person can be Chai of Koris even without an explicit warning someplace. In the Torah will say someplace or other that the thing is Chayiv Kares, but unlike with Mrs. Bastin, where it's not enough to say, let's say, for example, where it says in the Torah, let's say a person who breaks Shabbos is Chayiv Misa, there also has to be someplace in the Torah where it says don't break Shabbos, as it does, of course, Lo Yisasek HaMalacha. With Kares, though, where Mordechai is saying, it's not so, and a person is able to get Kares, even if you don't have any place in the Torah where it says don't do this, where all it has to say is, if you do this, you're going to be Chayiv Kares. And that's good enough. And Rav Mordechai says we can prove that. Shadei Pesach Umila Onashaf Mishloi Hizir. Because we see among the mitzvahs in the Torah for which a person is chayav kares for failing to do is not bringing the korban Pesach. You have machlokas in the Gemara and Pesachim. Under what circumstances exactly are we talking? Where he deliberately didn't bring Pesach Rishon and then didn't bring Pesach Sheni? Are we talking about where he was shogig by the first one and then should have brought the second one and was amazing and didn't bring that, etc. The Gemara goes through various possibilities over there. But in any case, there is a concept of kares for not bringing the Korban Pesach. There's also Kores for not having a bris milah. There you have a machlokas rishonim on it, where the Rambam holds that it means that when the person dies without having had milah, then at that point he gets Kores. Up until that point, how could you give him Kores? Any day, how could he be given Kores? Any day, he could decide to go and have that bris milah. The Rambam disagrees and learns that it means that he's chayav Kores even before that. In any case, the point is that so there you have mitzvah saseh, where there's Kores. And there's kares, even though there's no warning, there's no place where the Torah says, do not fail to bring the Korban Pesach, or do not fail to have a bris milah, but it says that a person who fails to do those things gets kares. So you see that kares doesn't require azhara. So the Gemara says, why? V'dilma azhara l'korban. Why? Maybe you should say that when it comes to chayvei krisus, the reason why there has to be so maybe you could say, fakir, maybe you never need an azhara for chayvei krisus. The only reason you need an azhara is to tell us that if a person does it b'shogeg, then he's going to have to bring a korban. So any of the chayvei krisus except for Pesach and Milah, all of the loisa says that a chayv kares, a person has to bring a korban, a chatas, if he did it b'shogeg. So maybe the reason behind the azhara is to tell us that then he's going to be chayv a korban if he does it b'shogeg. And we see by Pesach and Mila, where there's no warning, then there's no korban for failing to bring them either. So maybe we should say that you're assuming that there needs to be an azhara, and then you're proving that you don't need an azhara because we see that Pesach and Mila you don't have, but maybe the azhara is not so much to establish that there should be kares. Maybe the azhara is meant to establish that there should be a korban. So therefore there'd be no proof from the fact that Pesach and Mila don't have an Azhara, because of course by them there's no korban. But the Gemara says no, Hasam Lav Hainu Taima. No, because that's not really the reason why the fact that you don't bring a korban for failing to bring a korban Pesach or for failing to do a bris Mila is not because there's no Azhara. The reason is because the whole Torah, all the mitzvahs in the Torah, when it comes to a chatas, when it comes to kores, are being compared, when it comes to a korban, particularly, when it comes to a korban chatas, are being compared to avodah zarah. You have psukim in Parshas Shlach that talk about where a person worships of a Zara b'shogeg, and then it says that Torah achas yolachem lo'osa b'shogeg. There should be one Torah for anything, for when a person does b'shogeg, from which we learn that there's a similarity between other mitzvahs that a person might be over, other isurim that a person might be over, and avodah zara. Ma avodah sechazim shev al tasa. Now, avodah zara is not something where Hashem is telling you to go and do something. Avodah zara is Hashem is telling you to sit back and don't do something. So therefore, afkol shev al tasa. So when does a person bring a chatas? When Hashem has told him, don't do this, and he goes and does this. Don't eat blood or chaylev, and he goes and eats blood or chaylev. Don't duplicate the ingredients of the keturas, as we learned in the Mishnah, as one of the examples, and he goes and duplicates those ingredients, etc. La pukihani dekum esse, dekum asse, as opposed to Pesach and Mila, where the Torah is telling you, do something, do bring a korban Pesach, do have a Mila, so those are different, so those are in a whole different category, and therefore there's no korban for them. So we have very good reason to say that in fact the Azhara is meant to tell us that without an Azhara there can't be Koris, and therefore, So you can't say the Azhara is for the korban. No, the reason why there's no korban by Pesach and Mila is because they're in a different category, precisely because they're mitzvah saseh. Therefore we can say that we should say that there does need to be an Azhara in order for there to be Kares. The Azhara would be telling us by all the other ones that there is a Korban. Without an Azhara, there can't be a Korban, but doesn't tell us that there has to be an Azhara in order for them to be Chayav Kares. So Rashi says, actually, what the Gemara is saying at this point is that by Arias, let's say, the Torah tells us, don't do them. So it's Shev Val Tasa, and even if there hadn't been an Azhara, even if there hadn't been a Lav, a person could still bring a Korban for it, because it is similar in that regard to Avodah Zarah. So in other words, the idea is, Achronim explained, a korban is meant for kapara. A korban is not a punishment. So the whole idea we're talking about, there needs to be an azhara, is for there to be a punishment. But a korban is not a punishment. Therefore, there doesn't need to be an azhara to tell us to bring a korban. So now we're back to what Reb Mordechai said, that therefore, when we have an azhara, it's not to tell us to bring a korban, because a korban you'd have to bring regardless. Rather, the azhara must be coming to tell us that he's chayiv, and not that he's chayiv koris either, because again, koris was saying there doesn't need to be an azhara for, since it's min hashamayim. So the lav must be coming to tell us that he is in fact chayiv malchus. So therefore, there we can answer, and that's how we know, therefore, that even when he's Chayav Koris, he can still be getting Malkus, which is Rabbi Akiva's position. All right, the Gemara says, Ravina Omar. Ravina said, here's another way of explaining Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So far we have the explanations as follows. So far, we have the first explanation was that Rabbi Shmuel had said basically any lav can get malchus, and it doesn't matter whether Misas based in or not. Meanwhile, Rabbi Akiva had said Kadevish also, and you can't do Shtei Rishoyis. And the Gemara had said that Rabbi Shmuel had said that Misa and Malkus, you can consider that Misa and Malkus is Misa Arichta, that Malkus is just the beginning of a long, drawn-out death, and therefore there's no problem giving him Misa and Malkus as well. Rabbi Akiva would disagree with that. Then another way of that was one way of understanding it. That related to that, the Gemara had said that even if we do hold of Shtei Rishoyis, Rabbi Akiva at least might say that it applies only to Risha Kosak Samasur Labetzin, so it wouldn't exclude the case where he's Chayiv Koris. Now we had Rava's explanation that we're talking about where they gave him Hasra for Malkus, and the question is whether that works. By Mrs. Bastian, Rabbi Akiva is saying it does not work because the Lav is needed for Mrs. Bastian, but by Koris, now that we've established that the Lav is not needed for Koris, and it's not needed for the Chatas either, then the Lav is available to tell us that he's Chayiv Malkus. Ravina Omar, Ravina says a third possibility. La'olam kidaminin mi'ikara. We can go back to what we said earlier in the sugya. She'im osa truva based in shamayla mochan lahen. That We said the machlokas is where, in fact, they gave him asura from mitzvah and from malchus. So therefore, said Rabbi Shmuel holds that he could get that he could get both, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that you can't because of shtei rishoyos, because that would be punishing him twice for the same avera. However, we had pointed out that by kodesh there's not necessarily two punishments. Sheim also tshuva based from ma'ila moichon lahan, because if he does tshuva, then the based in shamayla will then the based in shamayla will forgive them. And therefore he's not necessarily getting two punishments. My amatolei over tshuva, though you're going to say, yeah, but the fact is they haven't done tshuva, and now it might end up that they're getting two punishments. So before we said that's not a problem, because it's only talking about bidrisha, amasurla based in akos and medabra, that it only matters when the punishment is given over to based in, so we don't care if he gets two punishments, one kores and one malchus, because one of them is not bidei based in. Now, Ravina is answering, nevertheless, like psikim, no sila kores, the fact is it's not a definitive thing that they're going to get kares, because after all, they could do tshuva. So therefore, so when do we say mishum shtei rishoyos would be where they're definitely going to get two punishments? And the fact is, we said before, as we learned yesterday, when it comes to the beis din shamata, beis din shamata can't exempt them from punishment, even they did tshuva, because of, for the various reasons that we learned yesterday, because the beis din can't know whether their tshuva is sincere, or because the punishment itself is part of their kapara, etc., etc. So there it's definitive that he's going to be getting the punishment of Mrs. Bastian, therefore you can't also give him Malchus. Whereas over here, Ravina is saying, it's not definitive, he might get Kodesh, he might not, depending whether he does Tshuva, so therefore that doesn't block us from giving him Malchus, and whether he gets Kodesh or not is not our problem at that point, because it's up to him. So the Ritva explains that Ravina basically agrees with Rava that Rabbi Shmuel would say you can't give him Misa, that Rabbi Akiva would say you can't give, that Rabbi Shmuel would say you can't give him Misa and Malchus, and Rabbi Akiva would say it's a matter of Azhoras Misa space, and he's just adding another detail, over here. Fine. So that takes care of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva so far. Now, we had a third opinion in the Braisa, which was that Rabbi Yitzchak had said that when there's Kores, Rabbi Yitzchak had said, Chayvik Krisis Bechlal Hoyu, there was a general rule including the Chayvik Krisis. Rashi said it meant the fact that it says Kores in general at the end of all the Arayas. Tosfos had said that it meant that in general you have that all things that are Chayv Kores, except for Pesach and Mila, as we said before, are Lavim, and there's a general rule on Lavim that there's Malkus involved. And then Rabbi Yitzchak had said that the Torah mentions specifically Kores by his sister to tell us that there's only Kores, not Malkus. In short, Rabbi Yitzchak holds that whenever, unlike Rabbi Akiva, whenever there's Kores, there's no Malkus. So unlike Rabbi Akiva, instead a person could be Chayav Kores and he can still be Chayav Malkus for the various reasons that we said so far, Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees with that point. So the Gemara says, the Braisa had said, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Chayvik Krisis Bechlal Hoyu. Rabbi Yitzchak says that Chayvik Krisis were in the general category of all Arayas according to Rashi, or the general category of all Lavim according to Tosfos. V'loma Yotzes Kores Bachoisoy. So why does the Torah single out and mention Kores specifically by his sister, where it says that a man has relations with a sister, then they're Chayv Kores? So the reason is, it's an example, so Laduna Bekoris, Valeva Malkus, so it comes to tell us that he gets only Koris and not Malkus. And therefore he learns from that. Dovah Shoy Bechlal, V'yotzah Menach Klal L'Lamed, Al Loi L'Lamed, Al Afna Yotzah, L'Lamed Al Klal Klo Yotzah, and therefore he says that teaches us that all Chayvik Krisis are not getting Malkus. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan answer back to that? The Rabbanan meaning Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, what do they answer to that? The answer is, so according to them, Kores v'achoseh lomali, according to them, why does the Torah mention Kores by his sister? And the answer is lachalik, to tell us to distinguish all the arayas have one kores. So you would think that if a person did all of them behel mechad, a person was mezana with many different arayas, all behel mechad, not knowing that it was also, maybe he'd be chayv only one chatas. So therefore it mentions kores by his sister, and again, the lamed alakfal kolo yotzer, it tells us therefore, just like by her, there would be a separate chatas for that. Then we learn the same thing for each of the individual, arayas, then there's also a separate chatas for each one. V'chid Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan says, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan says exactly that. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is focusing on the fact, the first Mishnah, Masechta Krisus, starts by saying there were 36 things for which a person is Chayav Karis. The Mishnah, by the way, where it says 36, the Rambam actually breaking it down more finely, comes out with 45. Because you have, the Mishnah mentions over there, a mother, and when you break it down, as we learned in Sanhedrin, you have within a mother, the Mishnah itself points out over there, you have within a mother, there's also a mother, a father's mother, a mother's mother, etc. So you have several different things over there, so breaking it down more finely, you have like that. But you have 36, and the Gemara asks over there, we ourselves can count what's in the Mishnah and come up with the number 36. Why does the Tana have to mention the number? And the answer is that Rabbi Yochanan explains, Shem Asan Kulam, Behelam Echad, if a person were to do all these 36 things, two of them, 34 actually, because two of them are Pesach and Milah, and we said before, you don't bring a Chatas for Pesach and Milah, but the other ones, if a person did them all, Behelam Echad, if he did them all in one period of unknowing, Chayav or Kolachas Vachas is going to be Chayav an individual Chatas for each one. So therefore, so they're learning that from the fact that it mentions Kores separately by a sister. And therefore the Lamin al-Aklav Kolo Yotzan, it teaches us that each one is considered a separate Isser, a separate Lav, and therefore a separate Chatas. Well, the Rabbi Yitzchok L'chalek V'nolei, well, where is Rabbi Yitzchok getting that concept from? And the answer is, Nafkalei mi ve'el isha v'nidas tum osa, ve'el isha v'nidas tum osa. The Pasuk continues and says, don't have relations with a woman when she's nida. Now, why does it have to say ve'el isha? So therefore, so it teaches us that each isha is a lav of its own. In addition, you also have that since you have at the end the pasuk said nida is not really an erva per se, but nevertheless she is listed in the parasha of Arayas, and at the end it says kias kol ha'eva sa'el, that all of these things that the people did in Eretz Canaan, and therefore they're getting kicked out, and v'nichasu anafoshes ha'oisus. So therefore we learn that there's a similarity between all of them. So therefore Rabbi Shmuel can learn from nida to all of them, and since it says Ve'el Isha means every individual woman. So therefore, L'chayev, I'll call Isha V'isha, so it comes to be L'chayev, a separate korban for every individual woman. Okay, but Rabbanan Nami typically meha. Well, then why don't Bishmal and Rabbi Akiva learn from that process? Why do they need to learn from Achosei? And the answer is, you're right. Eino Hanami, yes, indeed, they could learn it from the same words of Elisha. Ela Kores Achose Lomali. So back to the question, according to them, why do we need Kores mentioned separately by his sister, if anyway all the Arayas are Chayiv Kores? And the answer is, L'chayvai al achoisei v'al achoisei v'al achoisei. It comes to tell us that if you had relations, b'helem echad, with his sister and his father's sister and his mother's sister, that he should have to bring three separate karbanas. Otherwise, we would have thought that Isser by all of them has to do with sisterhood. So therefore, you would think maybe it's true they're separate Isser, but nevertheless, we might have thought that you bring only one chatas for them because it's all a matter of being sisters.
Does anybody mention why sister seems to be more?
Well, there isn't really more of a chumrah with the sister. We're saying that we're using that as an example to teach about everything else.
No, right, but why would the sister be worse than anybody else, let's say? Any other, why would they be more strict with the sister?
Well, that's the thing. We're not really being more strict with the sister. If anything, we're being a little bit more lenient in the sense that many of the Arayas involve Mrs. Bastin, and by sister, there's only Kores. But, yeah. I mean, Rashi does mention on the Pasuk, based on a Gemara that we learned in Sanhedrin, that given that we find that Cain married his sister, that was a special chesed that Hashem did for the world to be populated, so therefore the Torah, in fact, uses the word chesed, but the Torah wants to stress that don't think that in future generations such things are mutter. I think there are Mephoshim actually who point out that, you know, a brother and sister, I mean, they grow up together in the same household, there might be more of an opportunity for them to be Mizana together than there might be for many other relatives who are not necessarily part of your immediate family. But anyway, in any case, therefore, we'd say but mentioned specifically Kores by the sister to tell us that it applies even that if a person were to have relations with his sister, his and both of his aunts, his father's sister and his mother's sister, then and be chayav a separate carbon for each one. But the Gemara says, Pshita, of course there'll be separate carbon for each one. Hare gufin mechlokin v'hare shemes, hare shemes mechlokin. After all, it's different gufim, and it's different names. The fact is, each one is a separate isser in the Torah. You have among the 613 mitzvahs are a separate isser for a sister, a separate isser for a father's sister, a separate one for a mother's sister. So therefore, of course there's gonna, and they're different gufim, they're physically separate people. Of course there'd be a separate chasas for each one. Why would we think differently? No different than any other, no different than any other arayis. So Ella, you're right, the Gemara says, L'chaivar alachoisei shehi achois aviv shehi achois imai. No, rather what it wants to tell us is that even if the same woman is his own sister, as well as his father's sister, as well as his mother's sister, then nevertheless he'd be chayiv three chatois for having relations with her. The Hechi Mashkachas law, how could you find such a thing? Birashia bar Rashia. You would have a Rosha, the son of a Rosha. Meaning, Rashi describes, a man has relations with his mother, they have two daughters, and then he goes and has relations with one of those daughters and has a son. So now, that son, so the father was a Rosha, he was Mizana with his own mother, and with a woman who is his daughter as well as his sister. She's his daughter, but she's also his mother's daughter, which makes this woman his sister. And now his son is having relations with her, where now she's his own sister, and she's also his father's sister, and also his mother's sister. So there you could have such a case, but if the son ends up doing that the shergig, now as long as he's doing it the mazid, then he's not bringing a korban. But let's say he's trying to do tshuva, and then later on he ends up actually being mezana with this woman again. Then nevertheless, so now you have, it's not guf and mechlokin, it's one single guf. But nevertheless, it is three separate isurim. You still would have thought, though, because it's all one guf. Therefore, maybe he should be only bringing one chatas. Therefore, the Torah singles out Kores by his sister to tell us that, no, there's actually a separate chatas for each one of these things. There are many other cases where there could be many isurim in one guf. Tosfos elsewhere explains, Tosfos and Chrysos explains that the Gemara wanted to bring over here this case where there's a bigger chiddush, because here you have it's actually not only the same guf, but it's all under the same category of sisterhood, and nevertheless it's still considered three separate. Nevertheless, it's still three separate chatars. Okay, the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchok Homan Olay. Well, where is Rav Yitzchok going to learn this concept from? And the answer is, Nafkele Mikavachoymer. He's going to learn it from a Kavachoymer. Because he's going to say the concept that a person should be chayev, should be chayev a korban, that we can learn from a kavachomer. We've been saying all this time, ein oinshin elam ken mazirin, that you can't punish a person with misa or malchus unless there's a warning, and we've learned in Sanhedrin, ein oinshin min adin, that you can't punish somebody based on a kavachomer. But here we're saying that it's not a matter of punishment, it's a matter of bringing a korban. And again, a way of looking at it as a korban is more of a kapara, more than a punishment, and therefore it's valid to, learn that from a kavachomer. So you can learn it from a kavachomer. Ditanya, or Ditnan, we actually learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Krusas. Omer Rav Akiva, Sha'alti as Rav Gamliel over Rav Yeshua, I asked Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua, Ve'itliz shel Imol, in the butcher shops in the area where they sell meat in the city of Imol, Shahochol likach behema lemishta b'noisha Rav Gamliel. They had gone there to buy an animal for the chasana of the son of Rav Gamliel. So Rav Akiva says, I met them in that place, in that butcher shop, and I asked them the following question. Why do we mention that point? There's a number of ideas. The Gemara itself mentions in Krisus, it shows that they were always focused. So Tosfos explains over there that it means that they were always focused on learning Torah. That even though they're busy, they're buying an animal. Nevertheless, they're still always available to talk in Torah and to answer a question in Torah. Another point as well
a couple of other points as well. The Aruch HaNer brings over there that it means that Rav Gamliel himself holds that Nasi Shemochel HaKvodeh, Kvodeh Mochel. Nasi can forego his honor. Rav Gamliel is the Nasi. What does he do? Shemochel HaKvodeh, whose Mochel on is covered, then it's a valid thing. So therefore he's going, so what do you mean? He's going to this butcher shop and he's going to this market in Imom to buy an animal. Why doesn't he send a shliach? Because he wants to show that a Nasi is able to forego his own covered when he's going and buying for his son's wedding. And therefore, he took along Rabbi Yeshua because Rabbi Yeshua agrees with that concept. Rabbi Eliezer, in a Gemara and Kedushin, holds that that would not work and the Nasi can't be mochel on the car and is covered, but Rabbi Yeshua holds that he could. And the Gemara tells a story over there in Kedushin where one time by that same wedding, maybe by a different wedding, Rabbi Gamliel is serving the guests drinks. And Rabbi Eliezer says, wait, how could we do that? How could Rabbi Gamliel be serving us drinks? And Rabbi Shua and a couple of the other Chachamim point out that it is valid that he's able to be Moichel on his covered. Then there's another point as well. The Tiferes Yisrael makes a point that it also, like this, the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to go on to say that when Rabbi Akiva asked the question, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua answered, we don't know, but we can try to derive it from something that we do know. So even though they're in public over there, they're not embarrassed to say that we don't know. So for all these reasons, it mentions that this took place in this marketplace where they're selling animals in the city of Imon. Anyway. So the question was, Rabbi Akiva asked them, exactly this case. Exactly this case where this woman is his sister and his father's sister and his mother's sister, like we just said, where it's a Rosha, the son of a Rosha. So in that case, einichayev al kulan el achas, einichayev al kol achas vachas. So mahu einichayev al kulan el achas, einichayev al kol achas vachas. What's going to be the din? Is he going to be chayev for all of it together, only one chatas, or is he going to be chayev an individual chatas for each one for each of the three isurim? Because even though it's one guf, it is three different isurim. Omruloi, so the answer to him, Zuloi Shemainu, we haven't heard explicitly an answer from our Rebbeim about that particular case, Aval Shemainu, but we have heard a similar din from which we think that we can derive the answer to this one. Habal Chomesh Noshim Nidis Behelem Echad, a man were to have relations with five different women when they're nida, or behelam echad, he didn't know that they're nida, is going to be chayav a korban individually for each one, even though it's the same issue again and again. V'nirin advarim mikav achomer. V'nirin advarim mikav achomer, so therefore they say we can deduce, that we can use a kav achomer to say that the same thing in your case. Uman nida shi shem echad, madach with nida, where it's only one name, it's only one issue, chayav a kolachas vachas, and yet he's chayav individually for each one. In your case, Shloisha Shemus, where it's three different names, the fact is, yes, it's all sisterhood, but the fact is the Torah does mention specifically a father's sister, a mother's sister, and your own sister, so therefore, like Koshikan, how much more so that he should be chayav three chatois. Rabbi Yitzchak can learn by the same thing. He can learn from that, from a similar kavachomer, to say that concept. He doesn't need a pasuk for it, unlike Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, who do use the pasuk by the sister to teach us that concept. So the Gemara says the Idach. Now why? So that's Rabbi Yitzchak is using that Kavachomer. Why don't Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva use that Kavachomer? Why do they need the Pasuk of Koris Vachos? Right? And the answer is Kavachomer Prichahu. Because it's a Kavachomer that you can shlug up. Mala Nidah can go from Mechlokin. Because the fact is, by the Nidah, you have it is separate Gufim after all. The fact is, it is separate women. And therefore, you could say that that's a vow, and that's a reason to be Mechayiv and a separate Chatas for each one. So therefore they need the pasuk by his sister to tell us that there'd be a separate chatas for each one. You can't learn it from this kavachomer.
You don't compare.
You can't. Ula idoch nami hai bade kavachomer prichu. Nu doesn't Rabbi Yitzchak realize also that it is a kavachomer that can be shlugged up? So Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua might say, in other words, that it doesn't depend on Gufim. They hold that it's only a matter of Sheamus, that it's only a matter of, as long as there are, it depends whether there are different Isurim or not, they don't care how many Gufim there are involved. So therefore, so for them, it's a valid Kavachomer. But Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are going to hold it's not a valid Kavachomer, because the fact is they're going to hold that it is different Gufim. So therefore, the Gemara is assuming at this point that Rabbi Yitzchak would also have to reject the Kavachomer for that reason. The Orach HaNer actually wonders why can't Rabbi Yitzchak hold like Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua? And therefore, so now the Orach HaNer actually explains that now the Gemara is saying that, you know what, never mind. We're not talking about, like we said before, one woman who is his sister and his father's sister and his mother's sister. We're actually talking about there are three separate women, but the Gemara had to begin with ask Pshita, but now we're saying that maybe we would say that again it's all under the general category of Ochos, it's under the general category of sister, and therefore we're going to say, so therefore Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua can say a Kavachomer that he should be chayav for five Nidus, where it is Gufan Machlokin, but at least it is the same name. But the Gemara is assuming at this point that if it's Gufan Machlokin and Sheamus Machlokas, then of course there's going to be separate Chatois for each one. So why is Rabbi Yitzchak learning differently than Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel? So the answer is Elam Nafkale Me Achoise De Sefer. So rather, he's going to learn from the word Achoise at the end of the Pasuk. Namely, the Pasuk says, after it mentions Kores by the sister, V'isha Sheikach Has Achoise Bas Ovi Vay Bas Ima, etc., V'nichvus Ulaine B'nei Amam, and then the Pasuk says, Erva's Achoise Gila. He was Megala Erva with his sister. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak is learning from that second mention of sister in the Pasuk that there are separate Chatois for each Guf, as well as for each Shame. Well, the idach achoise is a sefer lamali. Well, what are Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel doing with the word achoise at the end? And the answer is that, like we said before, l'chayev al achoise bas. So no, the Gemara says differently. L'chayev al achoise bas oviv u bas imay. Because when the Torah mentions a sister, it talks about a sister who is the daughter of his father. It talks about a sister who is the daughter of his mother. It doesn't mention a full sister. In that very pasuk, v'isha sheyikach zachoisei vas oviv oy bas imoi. Similarly, in Parshas Achrimos, when it mentions the Arias, it says ervas achoischa bas avicha oy bas imecha. Never does it say your sister who is your father's daughter and your mother's daughter, your full sister. So therefore, so Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva say you need the word achoisei at the end of the pasuk to tell us that he's chayev for that as well. You could learn from a kavachomer. Loimer, well, that tells you the very fact, she'ein unshin menadin, that you cannot punish a person based on a kavachomer, as we've been saying all along. A korban, mela, maybe you can make me chayev a person based on a kavachomer, but malchus or misa not. So therefore, so precisely for that is why the Torah needs to specify for us, ervas achoise gila, because otherwise, even though we could have learned it by a kavachomer, you can't learn from a kavachomer to punish somebody, and therefore you need the Torah to be telling you that a full sister is osur, and that we learn from the word ervas achoise gila. So what is Rabbi Yitzchok answer to that? How does he know that a full sister is? How does he know Now, the Mefoshim do bring up a point. I mean, why do we even need a Kavachomer for it anyway? The fact is, by definition, a full sister is also a father's daughter and is also a mother's daughter. So just be Mechayev him on the grounds of one of those. You want to say that he should be Potter and it should be allowed because she's his full sister. What do you mean? She's your father's daughter as well. She's your mother's daughter as well. On one or the other grounds of that, automatically she's off limits. So the Me'irig brings that when it says oi, then you would say that maybe we would exclude it. And another possibility is that a sister from the paternal sister is often called achois and not just achois mina av or achois mina aim. So therefore, when the Torah says achois chabas avicha oi basimecha, maybe it would davka mean from the father and not the mother, or davka from the mother not the father, and therefore you need the word achois to tell you otherwise. Okay. In any case, the point is that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are learning from that. The Idach, what about according to the Idach, what about Rabbi Yitzchak? What is he using that word achoscha for? So the Gemara says he boy same now the Gemara in Krisus, when it discusses this whole point, says that maybe in fact Rabbi Yitzchak would say that Oinshin Min Adin. Tosfos discusses that point over here, that Rabbi Yitzchak says over there, yes, Oinshin Min Adin, you could punish a person based on a Kavachoimer. So therefore, so the Gemara could have given that answer over here, and Tosfos says that, and then Tosfos discusses why in fact the Gemara doesn't bring that point up over here. In any case, over here the Gemara gives a different answer. One possibility is he learns from the warning itself, when the Torah warns not to have relations with a sister, and it mentions a sister who's only bas aviv or only bas imay or both. Because there you have the pasuk, ervas bas, there you have a pasuk that says ervas achois, but you have another pasuk there that says ervas bas eishas avicha, the erva of the daughter of your father's wife, which would be your full sister, because she's your father's daughter and your mother and your mother's daughter, and there's an iser on it. And the pasuk says achoischahi. So therefore, he could learn from that. Once it says by the azhara that all types of sister are included, then by the onesh, by kores, it can also include all types. So that's one possibility. The boisema, another possibility, natsalei mi achoisei dereisha. Another possibility is he learns it from the fact that it says achoisei at the beginning of the pasuk, because the pasuk says the isha sheyukachas achoisei bas ovi vay basimoi. It didn't have to say the word achoisei; it could have just said the isha sheyukach et bas ovi vay basimoi. And of course, his father's daughter or his mother's daughter is his sister. So why would it say achoisei? Then he can learn from that it means that a full sister is also off limits. Okay, the Idach, what would Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva do with that? So if we say that he's learning from the Azhara, then the answer would be fine. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel hold that you can't do that. You need a separate thing by the Azhara to tell us that there are separate lavim for each one and therefore separate chatois for each one. But if we're going to say that Rabbi Yitzchak is learning it from the word achoisei at the beginning of the pasuk, they also have that. So what are they going to do with that? And the answer is, the answer is they're going to take it completely out of context, as the Gemara often does. If you don't need it for this case, then use it for a whole different case, namely where a person duplicates the Shemen HaMishcha and anoints himself with the original Shemen HaMishcha. So if he does that for Hela Mechad, he's going to be high of two chatois. There also, you have two lavim and one chorus. The pasuk says, don't duplicate the Shemen HaMishcha, and don't put any of it on a person's skin. But then the Torah says, what if a person does that, then he's getting chorus. So there also, you have two separate lavim, but only one chorus. So how would you know that if he does both those things for Hela Mechad, he's high of two chatois? That we learn from the extra word, if you don't need it for the case of achoisei, because according to them, anyway, we can learn from the fact that it said, achoisei at the end of the pasuk. Therefore, they can use that to learn, they can use achoisei from the beginning of the pasuk instead, out of context, to talk about this mefatim v'soch, and to tell us that there would be a separate chatos for each one of those. So the Gemara says, the Idach, well, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, how do we know that answer? How do we know that when Mefatim Vesach, that he has to bring two chatos? The answer is, Savak Rabbi Lazar Omer Rabbi Hoshia. The answer is that Rabbi Yitzchak will hold, like what Rabbi Lazar says in the name of Rabbi Hoshia, the Omer Rabbi Lazar Omer Rabbi Hoshia, Kol Mokam Shata Moitze Shnei Lavim, Rekores Echad, in general, any time that you find two Lavim and one Kores, Chaluk in Hand the Korban, then the very fact that you have two separate Lavim teaches us that they have separate Korbanus. So here you have two separate lavin. Don't duplicate the Shemana Mishnah. Don't take some of the original Shemana Mishnah and rub it on your skin. So therefore, so even though so it's two lavin, even though it's only one kardes, Rabbi Yitzchak holds that's good enough for that. That alone is good enough for us to say that he should be chayav of two chatos. So therefore he doesn't need to learn that from Achoisoi. Instead, he can learn that from this general rule. Tosfos goes and discusses actually in that in that case then Taka back by the sister. Why do we need Ervas Achoise Gila from the end of the pasuk? We should use the same. He should be able to use the same rule and say that there are lava mechlokim. And Tosfos discusses that point that since we have that by Arias, we didn't need the drasha that we brought before from Ve'el Isha. So therefore, so he has the word Achoisoi left over to tell us that he gets Kores, not Malkus. And again, this brings us back to what Rabbi Yitzchak had said at the beginning of the sugya, that where there's Kores, then there's no Malkus. So as far as you'd have one extra achoisoi, so fine. Either it's meant for a different drasha, or it's just the style of the pasuk, and therefore you don't need that. So Rashi actually goes in some detail over here. Once we say that lavin mechlokin, that once you have separate lavin, then automatically there's separate chatois from it. So in here you have absar adam lo yisuf maskunta lo yisasu kamay. So therefore, so and you have one kares. So nevertheless, because there's separate lavim, then therefore automatically there's separate chatzaros. So now, when it comes to arayas, therefore, so you don't really need. So this is Rashi teaches out. Then you don't really need the drasha from El Isha that we said before, because anyway, you realize that any time there's separate arayas, then there's separate chatzaros. So therefore, you have the posik of kores by achoisoi can teach us, as Rabbi Yitzchak had said all along, kores and not malchus. As far as that extra achoisoi would teach us that again, where it's one woman who is also his father and his mother's sister, like we said before, then we would say that he's still high of three chatoris for it. Or another possibility, it actually says that still he could also learn from the word the pasuk says v'isha sheyishka v'isha dava, where also by a nida it mentions an extra kares. So therefore, so you could also learn from it. You could also learn the lamana klal yotza, the lamana klal kol yotza, and then since you don't need that legufoy, then instead we can learn it for other cases where there's two lavim and one kares, such as mefatim and sach. And that's Rashi's explanation of how what the flow of the Gemara is, how Rabbi Yitzchak is going to say that. Tosfos brings further and says the fact is when you have one woman who's his sister and his father's sister and his mother's sister, again, since it's all one goof, then therefore you would think he's chayav only one. Unlike Mefatim and Soch, where after all it is two separate Avedas, and therefore therefore Rabbi Yitzchak would still need a drasha to learn that. So the Gemara says, so that's one possibility. The Boisema, or another way of understanding Rabbi Yitzchak, Lois Savalok Rabbi Lazar, maybe in fact he doesn't hold like Rabbi Lazar. Hagoyis Habach actually changes that and says Savalok Rabbi Lazar. He does agree with Rabbi Lazar and says that whenever you have two lavim and one kares, then it means that there are separate, chatars. But we could say the nafkalei mi v'isha sheyishka v'isha dava. As Rashi had just said, we learn from the pasuk where also by a nida, where it also says where a man has relations with a woman when she's nida, then there's kores. Again, it says kores in general by the arayas. So why would it need to mention it again by a nida? So therefore, he can learn from that whenever there are separate lavim and one kores, that there's separate chatois. So here you have separate lavim. There's a separate lav, don't have relations with a nida. There's a separate lav, don't have relations with each of the various other arayas. There's a kores over here, and therefore he can learn from that each one is a separate lav, and therefore a separate chatas. The idach. Okay, well, what are Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva going to do with that pasuk? The answer is, they're going to use those words, they're going to use that for a different drasha that Rabbi Yochanan said. How do we know that a woman is not tomei as nida? Only if the midva, only if the blood from the womb, midva, literally means her sickness. And Rashi points out on Chumash that the word midva can have two different, the word dava and midva and that whole family of words can mean, it can come from a word that means flow, as in the flow of blood. It can also come from the word meaning sickness, because often when a woman is nida, then she feels under the weather. Anyway, so how do we know that she's tomei only if it comes out derech ervasa, through her erva? Meaning, in other words, as opposed to, for example, she had a C-section and blood came out through the side, she wouldn't be tomei. Shenema, as opposed to the isha sheyishka, as isha dava, the gila es ervasa, the gomer. It says that he has relations with a woman who's dava and he reveals her erva. From that we learn melama chayne shetmei ad sheyetsim midva derech ervasa. So from that we learn that she's tomei only if the blood comes out through the erva, through the regular erva, and not if it comes out from the side. Now, meanwhile, Rabbi Yitzchok does not have to agree with that derasha, so he would hold that she'd be tomei regardless. The Gemara has the expression in the Masechta Nidah, makor mekoymei tomei. The womb itself is a place of tumah. So therefore, the blood from there is going to be metame, and Rabbi Yitzchok will hold that even if it comes out from the side or some other unnatural way, then nevertheless it would still make her tame. So the bottom line is, in other words, that so now we've gone through all the various psukim. So now, in other words, in short, to summarize, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are going to learn that there were separate chatoris by Arias from this pasuk Ve'el Isha. And the fact that it says kore separately by a sister, that teaches us where it's guf echad, even when you have many lavim in one guf, then nevertheless, but like we said, where she's his sister and his father's sister and his mother's sister, that there's still a separate kore for each one. Another achoise teaches us about a full sister. And the other achoise teaches us about mefatim and soch, even though there's only one kore that it says by two different lavim over there. And then when it says by Isha Dava, that teaches us this din, especially by Nida, that the blood has to come out of her erva. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And then within that, we just have the difference between them, as we said before, as we worked out earlier in the sugya, the various reasons why Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would hold that there could be Malkus by Mrs. Bastin or not, depends whether we say Shtei Rishoyas or not, or whether we say that it's limited only to, or whether we say that only by Mrs. Bastin, it's a definitive thing that he's going to get it, whereas by Kores it's not. And by Kores we can say that there can be lavin by Kores, or that there can be lavin by Mrs. Bastin, that there can be Malkus by Mrs. Bastin because it's considered Misa Arichter or not, etc. As that whole thing that we discussed. Meanwhile, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he's going to learn the psukim. Differently. The Kores that it says by the sister teaches us that that there's Kores and not Malkus, because he holds that there's no Malkus by Chayve Krisus, that there are separate Chatois by each Arayas he learns from Ve'el Isha, the Pasuk Ve'el Isha that the Chachamim are using to so that in the end they're both learning from Ve'el Isha. The two achoises, one teaches us where there's many Yisturim in one goof, and the other one teaches us that as far as a full sister, for that he doesn't need a separate pasuk. Either he learns it from the Azhara or he learns it from one of the Azharas, and then he would say that you don't need a separate one from a Fatim Vasach, because he learns it from the pasuk about the Isha Dava, or because he says in general the rule is whenever there are two Lavim and one Kares, then there's separate Chatoris for each one. So now we've worked out according to all of them how we use the various Psukim and the various Limudim, and we end up with, as we said at the beginning, that Yitzchak holds when there's Kores, there's no Malkus, and Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva hold that there is. Okay. New topic. The Mishnah had said the Tomei she'ochol as haKodesh. The Mishnah had said that when a person who's Tomei eats Kodshim or goes into the Beis Mikdash Tomei, then he's Chayiv Malkus. So the Gemara says, the Shlemas Habola Mikdash Tomei. We understand that when a person comes into the Bis Mikdash, that he's Tomei. You have both the punishment and you have the warning. He made the Mikdash of Hashem Tomei, and therefore he gets Kares. Azhara is Velo Yitamo, it's Machaneim. The Azhara is in Parshas Nasi. That the Tmeim have to be sent out of the Machna, and they should not make the Machna Tomei. So therefore, so you have an Onish and you have an Azhara, and therefore we can say, therefore, because of the Azhara, he's Chayiv Malkus. Again, not according to Rabbi Yitzchok, but according to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, he'd be Chayiv Malkus for that. Ela Tomei she'ochos haKodesh, but when a person who's Tomei eats Kodesh, where do we have the Shlema Onish Tksiv v'Nefesh Hashatecha Basam Mizevach Hashlamim Hashel Hashem? The pasuk says that if a person eats meat from the Kodeshim that belong to Hashem, the Tumasei Olav, and he's Tomei v'Nichrasa, then he gets Kodesh. El Azhara Minayin, where does the Torah say in so many words, do not eat from a korban when you're Tomei? And Rashi points out, you do have psukim in Parshas Emor that says when a person is Tomei, but Kodoshim lo yoichal, but there it's actually not talking about Kodoshim, it's actually talking about Truma. Rashi explains that actually the psukim over there at the beginning of Peretz Chof Beis in Emor are talking about Truma, not Kodshim. So where do you have something in the Torah that says you Tomei don't eat Kodshim? So two different opinions. Rish Lakish Omer b'chol kodesh lo siga. Rish Lakish says because at the beginning of Parashat Tzadiria when it talks about a yeledes who's Tomei, it says she shall not touch anything which is holy. So therefore that would mean that she's not allowed to, as the Gemara is going to explain further on, that doesn't mean touching, it actually means eating. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Tony Bardala, the name of a Chacham, taught a Braisa, Asya Tum Osei Tum Osei. We can learn it by Zera Shava from the word Tum Osei. The pasuk of a person is Tomei and he eats Kodshim, then he gets Kodis. When a person is Tomei Mess, the pasuk says he's Tomei, his Tumah is still in him. Malahalan Oynash V'Azhara, just like over there, when it comes to coming into the Bis Mikdash, we establish there is an Oynash and there is an Azhara, because we have explicit psukim that say, don't come into the Bis Mikdash Tomei, and if a person does, he's Chayiv Kares, Afkan, the same way, when it comes to eating Kodshim Batumah, Oynash V'Azhara, the same way, given that there's an Oynash in the Pasuk, we can use the Gzeira Shava to tell us that there is also an Azhara. Meaning, the Azhara, in order for there to be an Azhara, to not do something, it doesn't have to be that the Azhara says explicitly in the positive, it can be that we learn the Azhara with a Gzeder Shava or most of the other Yud Gomer Midas. We had similarly in Sanhedrin, for example, where the Isser of a man and his daughter is also learned from a Gzeder Shava. It never says explicitly in the positive, don't have relations with your daughter, but we learn from a Gzeder Shava. So the same way over here, the Isser to eat Kodesh and Betumah, we can learn from a Gzeder Shava, says Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, "Bishleimer Rish Lakish le'amak Rabbi Yochanan." I understand why Rish Lakish does not want to learn like Rabbi Yochanan did and learn the lav from a Gzeder Shava. Gzeder Shava like Gomer, because fine, he didn't learn the Gzeder Shava from his Rebbeim, and as we've learned many times, a person can't come up with a Gzeder Shava on his own. Elo Rabbi Yochanan, my time on le'amak Rish Lakish. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say? Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say like Rish Lakish? Now, what do you mean? Why should he say like Rish Lakish? Why can't he learn his Gzeder Shava from his Rebbe. So the question is rather what is Rabbi Yochanan doing with the drasha that Rish Lakish said? And also the Ritva says another point as well. Yes, you have a Gzeder Shava, but instead you could be using the Gzeder Shava to learn other things. Why are you, Rabbi Yochanan, insisting that this Gzeder Shava that you learn has to be used for this purpose rather than being able to use it to learn something else? So the answer is Omalach, Rabbi Yochanan can answer you, Hahu Azhara L'Truma. Because again, that Azhara, B'chol Kodesh L'Siga, is not talking about Kodshim, it's talking about Truma. So you can't learn from it to Kodshim. Tosfos points out, actually, I mean, we always find that Kodshim are more stringent than Truma. If you're going to tell me that's talking about that a Yeledis is not allowed to touch Truma and they get Malkus for it, how could you say that with Kodesh they wouldn't get Malkus for it? So fine, now Tosfos says maybe what it means is it wants to tell us not that there's malchus for touching truma, but the fact is you have to realize that she's still considered a tzvul yoim. Like this, the pasuk describes how after having a boy she's tomei for 7 days, and then there's yemei toiha for 33 days, and for a girl 14 and 66, and during all that time she's considered a tzvul yoim. So therefore, the Torah wants you to know that she passes truma by touching it, even though she's already gone to the mikveh one time after the 7 or 14 days, and she's still and she's already tell her to her husband. Okay, Tosfos also adds that since he's precisely because Rabbi Yochanan has the Gzeira Shava of Tumase, therefore that forces him to say that these Psukim by Yerledes, which would otherwise be unnecessary, are talking about Truma. Anyway, so he says that that's it. It's talking about Truma, so not Kodshim. Therefore Rabbi Yochanan can't learn from B'chol Kodesh Le'Sviga, therefore he needs his Zer Shalva. So the Gemara says, Rish Lakish has Hardal Truma Minale. Well, where does Rish Lakish know that there's a warning not to eat Truma when a person is Tomei? The answer is Naftale. He learns from the Pasuk and Emor. Ish Ish Mizera Aaron, any person from the descendants of Aaron, Vahutsa Ruah Ozov, if he's a Mitzora or a Zov, then he's not allowed to eat Kodshim. So now, why does it say ish ish a zehu dover? Now it says ish ish. That would mean that and it said ish ish mizera aaron a zehu dover shu shova bazara shal aaron. What do we find that is equal among all the descendants of Aaron? Meaning, as opposed to kodshim that are reserved for kohenim are generally reserved only for them, not for their families. When you have parts of kodshim that are given to the kohenim and can be eaten by their families as well, those are also kodshim that can be eaten by zorim. You have the shlomim, a toida, etc. Eaten by Zorim as well. When we talk about Kobanis that can be eaten only by Kohenim, then it's only the male Kohenim. What do we find that's given to Kohenim and men and women eat equally? Has to be Truma. Rashi points out, what about you have this chos of a shoik, there's the parts of a shlomim that are given specifically to the Kohenim, and those are eaten by their families. Fine, but Rashi says, the fact is that we find a case of a bas Kohen who never eats those. We find a case of a bas Kohen who marries a Yisrael, where she loses the right to eat chos of a shoik, and she never regains it, even if she's widowed or divorced and has no children. She regains the right to eat truma, but not chos of a shoik. So therefore, we can say that chos of a shoik is not of a bizarre shall Aaron. It's not something where all descendants of Aaron who are not posel are able to eat. But truma, yes, truma. Any non-posel descendant of Aaron can eat truma. So therefore, the pasuk is referring to truma. Therefore, that teaches us it's truma, and therefore the Torah is saying don't eat truma when you're tummy. So therefore, the shlokish is going to learn that you can't eat truma when you're tummy. From that, he doesn't need to learn from the yeledis. What is Rabbi Yechon answer to that? The answer is Ahula Achila v'Hol Negiya. The answer is the one in Emor is talking about that he's not allowed to eat it. The one in Parshas Tazria by the Yerledes is talking about that she's not allowed to touch Truma when she's Tome either. And one thing is, I mean, first of all, again, in Unchim and Adin, you could say when a person is eating, aren't they automatically touching it? But again, in Unchim and Adin, you can't punish somebody based on a kava choymer, therefore you need separate psukim. Besides that, a person could eat without touching. Somebody could put it on a long stick and stick it down their throat. So Rabbi Yochanan says we need both psukim. One to teach us they're not allowed to eat truma, and the other that they're not allowed to touch truma. So the question is, when a shlokish, you're telling me according to the shlokish, the words b'chol kodesh loisiga are coming to tell us that you can't eat, that they can't eat kodshim when the yoledis is tomei. That pasuk is needed according to the shlokish to tell us that when a tomei person touches kodesh, that according to the shlokish is getting malchus. The itmar, as in fact we have a discussion on that. Tomei shenoga b'kodesh, precisely that. If a tomei person touches kodshim, reshlokish oimer loiker, Rabbi Yochanan oimer ein loiker. Reshlokish says he's going to get malchus, Rabbi Yochanan says no. Reshlokish oimer loiker because b'chol kodesh loisiga, because the pasuk says she shouldn't touch anything kodesh. So therefore he says that kodesh over there means actual kodesh, not truma, and therefore there'd be malchus involved. Rabbi Yochanan says that no, they shouldn't touch it. They're going to make it possible, and it's also to make it possible, but there's no malchus. Because he says, that pasuk is saying that you're not allowed to touch it, they're not allowed to touch it. So in other words, Rish Lakish is understanding the pasuk before Kodesh Lesiga as referring to Kodeshim. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that no, it refers to Truma. They're not allowed to touch Truma. So they're not allowed to touch Truma, and as Tosfos points out, not necessarily does he say that there would be Malkus for touching Truma either, but it just means that they're not allowed to. Again, a mazhir min adin, and therefore we can't learn from truma to kodshim. Actually, the Meiri points out here. Tosfos had said, how could we think to be more machmir by truma than by kodshim? The Meiri says there might be a reason for it, precisely because truma, precisely because the dinim of it are usually more lenient. So if you touch it, you might come to eat it. As opposed to with kodshim, you're not going to eat them when they're tame, because there's kodesh involved, as opposed to truma. There's only a lav eating it when it's tame, so therefore a person might forget having touched it and eaten it, and then he might eat it, whereas by kodshim you wouldn't do that. Anyway, so therefore Sir Rabbi Yochanan says that you don't get malchus for touching kodshim, because it's only talking about truma, and it's not talking about kodshim. So now, Rish Lakish, we said before, is using this pasuk to say that you're not allowed to eat kodshim. And here he's saying it means that you can't touch kodshim. So which is it? So the answer is tomish and nogah b'kodesh. Rish Lakish would say, because it could be both. The fact that a tomei person touches kodesh is going to be chayiv malchus mid'apke rachmana b'loshin negiyah. Because after all, if the pasuk meant don't eat it, then it would have said don't eat it. Instead it says don't touch it. So therefore it means both. V'azhor la'oichel, the itkush kodesh l'mikdash, and the fact that there's an iser to eat it, that we learn because there's a hekesh between kodesh and the mikdash. Because the pasuk continues, v'chol kodesh loisiga, ve'elam mikdash loisavai. Don't touch or eat kodesh, and don't go into the mikdash. So just like going into the mikdash, there's kores, the same way eating kodeshim, when a person is tamei, would be chayiv kores, meaning there's no such thing as kores for touching something. So therefore, you can't say there should be chayiv kores for touching. Therefore, it has to mean eating. So therefore, Rish Lakish can learn both things from it: that eating, because it's compared, because there's kores involved, and there wouldn't be kores just for touching, and touching because the positive it phrases it as the word loisiga. Still, the Gemara says, "Vakati lahochi hu d'asa." Still, you're telling me, is that why the Torah says it with the word "don't touch"? Hahumi boile the tomei she'ochel b'sar kodesh lifnei zrikas domim. We need that pasuk to tell us a different game. When a tomei eats kodesh, eats meat from a korban before the blood was sprinkled. The itmar, as in fact we have a discussion of that point. Tomei she'ochel b'sar kodesh lifnei zrikas domim. Now, in general, you're not allowed to eat kodeshim before zrikas domim. But now, specifically, let's talk about if a tomei person does that. If a tomei eats from kodeshim before the blood is sprinkled. Rish Lakish omer loike, Rav Yechon omer eino loike. Rish Lakish omer loike, because, again, v'chol kodesh loisiga. The pasuk says, don't touch any kodesh. And since it says loisiga, that means loisiga means don't touch. But it means, in other words, it means even kodshim that you can't eat yet, so namely because the blood hasn't been sprinkled, so therefore you're not allowed to eat them yet. Nevertheless, there's still malchus for eating them. So loishon lifnei zrika, loishon la'achas zrika, doesn't matter whether before or after zrika, either way, a tomei is not allowed to eat kodshim, and either way they're getting malchus. Therefore he learns from the fact that it says loisiga, he's learning that. V'Rav Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Omer, Einu Loike, Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't get Malkus, Rabbi Yochanan L'taimei, namely Rabbi Yochanan is going according to his own Svara, because again, we said before, the Gzeira Shava, we learned the Gzeira Shava, that a person is at a Tomei, is not allowed to eat Kodshim, and is Chayiv Kores, or Chayiv Malkus for it. He said, because we learned from Gzeira Shava, Tum Osei, that from there we learn the Azhara, well, that whole Pasuk, that he's not allowed to eat Kodshim, when he's Tomei, is talking about after Zrikas Domin. The pasuk is saying, Kol Torah Yechal Basar. Any person who's Torah can eat the meat. And then it says, Va'nefesh Hashatecha Basar. And then anybody who eats that meat when he's Tomei is going to be Chayiv Kares. So we learn, when is he Chayiv Kares? Only when. If a Torah were to eat it, he would be allowed to. A Torah is not allowed to eat before Zrikas Domin. Therefore, Rabbi Yechon is saying, from that same Zeta Shava, we're learning that if a Tomei eats before Zrikas Domin, then he's not Chayiv Kares for it. And therefore not chayim malchus. So b'chikshiv tumase la'achazrika u'dichtiv. The pasuk saying that if he eats it when he's tummy, it's talking about after zrika. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, therefore we're saying that the issue of tumah only begins after zrikas damim. But according to Rish Lakish, who holds that it begins before zrikas damim, and he learns it from the word lobachol kodesh leisiga. Then the question is, how is he learning from that, where he just said before that there's malchus for touching kodshim when he's tomei, and therefore, so he's already using the word loisiga for that, so how is he also using it to learn that a tomei eats kodshim before zrikas damim is chayiv malchus? The answer is that even b'chol kodesh nafka, because that he's not learning from the word loisiga, that he's learning from the word b'chol kodesh. B'chol means any kodesh, whether the blood has been sprinkled on the mizbeach or not. So two different limudim. From b'chol kodesh, Rish Lakish is learning that if a tomei eats before zrikas damim, he's chayiv malchus. And from the words loisiga, he's learning that if a tomei touches kodeshim, then he's also chayiv malchus. The Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rish Lakish. We do learn a braisa like the way Rish Lakish learns, that when the pasuk says, B'chol kodesh leisiga, as hora lo'oichel, that when it says, don't touch any kodshim, as hora lo'oichel, that means a warning not to eat kodshim, after omer as hora lo'oichel, le'enel as hora l'negeya, maybe it means an as hora to not touch them. Therefore, the pasuk says she shouldn't touch any kodesh, and she shouldn't go into the Beis Mikdash. Makish kodesh and mikdash. Therefore, it's comparing kodesh and mikdash. Ma mikdash davash yeshmei netilas neshama. So just like a person, tamei person goes into the Beis Mikdash, they're going to be chayiv kodesh. Their neshama is going to be taken away from them. Af kol davash yeshmei netilas neshama. The same way anything in order for b'chol kodesh leisiga is teaching us something where there would be netilas neshama, where they would lose their life for that. Even a gear, if you're just talking about touching, mi'ik netilas neshama, there would never be netilas neshama. A person is never chayiv kares for only touching something. Ela ba'achila, so rather it's referring to eating. So therefore, so we see that, like Rish Lakish says, that we do learn the issu of eating kodshim when you're tummy from the pasuk v'chol kodesh loisiga. In addition, he also says that the word loisiga itself means that there's a separate issu on touching, and therefore that there's malchus for that. So therefore, we see that the braisa supports what Rish Lakish says. In any case, so those are the two different ways of learning what we said in the Mishnah, that Tomei She'ochos HaKodesh is going to be Chayiv Malchus, is either, again, because from this word, B'chol Kodesh Leisiga, or from the Gzeira Shava that Rabbi Yechanan brought, that just like when it comes to going to the Beis Mikdash, there's an Azhara and there's an Oynash, so it is also by eating Kodeshim. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue talking about these rules of what kinds of lavin a person gets malchus for.